Yo, it's your boy D'Angelo.
What's good? This is your girl Alexi.
Yo, what's up? It's your girl Rita.
And you're now tuned in to the Chicago View Podcast, brought to you by Riverhawk Productions.
You can find the Chicago View Podcast on social media platforms such as TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Riverhawk Productions on YouTube.
So stop what you're doing right now and follow us on all social media platforms so you will have access to all of the exclusive content that we will post.
Every single Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. 8 p.m.
Nobody number one fan. Your first number one, I had to put it in your hand. You pussies can't get booked outside America for nothing. I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan. I'm the hit maker y'all depend on. Tough on record in my city, it was friend zone. You won't never take no chain off of us. How the fuck you bitch stepping with a size 7 men's on? This the bark with the bite, nigga, what's up? I know my picture on the wall when y'all cook up. Extortion, baby, whole career, you been shook up. Cause top, so you dropping, give me 50 like some push-ups. Your last one, brick, you really not on shit. They make excuses for you cause they hate to see me lit. Pull your contract, cause we gotta see the split. Ay, the way you doing splits, bitch, your pants might rip. You better do that motherfucking show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse, you better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say drop, you better drop and give them 50. Pimp squeak pipe down, you ain't in no big three. SZA got you white down, Travis got you white down, Savage got you white down. Like your label, boy, you in a scope right now. And you gon' feel the aftermath of what I write down. I'm at the top of the mountain, so you tight now. Just to have this talk with your ass, I had to hike down. Big difference between Mike in and Mike now. What the fuck is this, a 20v1, nigga? What's a prince to a king? He a son, nigga. I get more love in the city that you from, nigga. Metro, shut your whole ass up and make some drums, nigga. Yeah, I'm a six god, I'm the front runner. Y'all nigga manager was Chuz, little blunt runner. Clean the six and you boys ain't even come from it. And when you boys got rich, you had to run from it. Cash blowing, able bread out here tricking. Shit we do for bitches, he doing for niggas. Jet switch, chains, wicked, wicked, wicked. Spinning like you tryna fuck, boy, you trippin'. Drizzy Chippendale, probably got your bitch Chanel. I just got on done, boy, don't make me at the Chippendale. Rollin' live stage, I was turned, that was slick as hell. Lucky that your dog, Lil Ben, doesn't kiss and tell. Hugs and kisses, man, don't tell me about no switches. I be rockin' every fuckin' chain I own next visit. I be with some bodyguards like Whitney. Top say, try your little midget ass, better fuckin'. Hey, better drop and give me 50. Hey, drop and give me 50. Drop and give me 50. Niggas really got me out here talking like I'm 50. Ay. Niggas really got me out here rapping what I'm living. I might take your latest girl and cuff her like I'm Ricky. Can't believe he jumping in, this nigga turning 50. Every song that made it on the chart he got from Drizzy. Worry about whatever going on with you and huh. Ay, shout out to the Hooper that be busting out the gritty. I know why you mad, nigga, I ain't even tripping. I ain't even rapping after this, I'm way too busy. This for all the top dogs, drop and give me 50. Drop, drop. And that fucking song y'all got is not starting beef with us. This shit been brewing in a pot, now I'm heating up. I don't care what Cole think, that dot shit was weak as fuck. Champagne tripping, he is not fucking easing up. Nigga caught a top to see a top, wanna piece it up. Top, wanna piece it up, top, wanna piece it up. Nah, pussy, now you on your own when you speaking up. You done rolled deep to this, it's not fucking deep enough. Begging cost a knot, where you not fucking beating us. Numbers wise, I'm out of here, you not fucking creeping up. Money wise, I'm out of here, you not fucking sneaking up. Corn by your show money, merch money, feed us. I'ma let you niggas work it out because I seen enough. This ain't even everything I know, don't wake the demon up. This ain't even everything I know, don't wake the demon up. Drop and give me 50, all you fuck niggas teaming up. What? What? Teaming up, but all of y'all falling like some dominoes. Bros turning hoes, dog, like I ain't got enough of those. I can't wait to see how far you niggas get to reaching now. This the closest thing you niggas getting to a feature now. Backpedal gang, cause a few of y'all been reaching out. Y'all drew the line, what the fuck we gotta speak about? Get your fucking head tapped, you niggas get to peeking out. You had a song for 4 years, drop that shit or shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, nigga. It's me twice in my big three, I had to leave you out. Fucking dumbass, nigga.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Alexi, and I hope you guys are staying in the loop with the Chicago View. Today's topic is O.J. Simpson dies of cancer at the age of 76 years old. What are your thoughts on that? Me, personally, I don't have too many opinions about it, but now I do after reading his history and stuff. Because as growing up as a child, I wasn't allowed to watch TV, so it is what it is. Now I'm learning about this man and his history. I don't really have too many opinions still about it. It is what it is at the end of the day, but it's pretty interesting, you know, looking back at the story. It doesn't compare to Diddy, but you know, very entertaining enough to go back and read about it. Let's go over his background just a little bit. Arthel James Simpson was born on July 9th, 1947, and was raised by his single mother in San Francisco. When he played college football, he was a star on the USC team, where he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1969, record-setting in an NFL lead for VIP for 11 seasons for the greatest defense and running back of all time. In 1979, he later retired to pursue acting and broadcasting for his career. OJ was in where he was later in the Hall of Fame for football college in 1983. Then in 1985, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Within that same year, he married his wife, Nicole Brown, which they had two kids, and allegedly a rocky marriage. Allegations against Simpson that there was domestic abuse going on, where Nicole eventually filed for divorce February 25th of 1992, where 2 years later, Nicole and her friend was found in her Brentwood home unalive. Now this is where I had to do my little research, because it was a lot that was, you know, pretty much summarized, but not really too in detail about what happened with Simpson at the time of the murder. So let's get into it. OJ was the immediate person of interest of the murders after the police gathered all their evidence, which noted in 1989, Simpson had placed no contestant of domestic violence charge against Brown in 1989. Later, charges was filed against Simpson, which he signed a warrant for his arrest, in agreement with his attorney to turn himself in at 11 a.m. at the Park Center Police Station, where he failed to turn himself in on June 17th. Now this is when the story kind of gets wild. 5 days after the situation, driven by his former teammate Alan Cedric, in a white 1993 Ford Bronco SUV, Simpson, while riding as a passenger, was armed in the back of the vehicle with a pistol, holding it to his head, threatening to shoot him and himself if he was not taken back to his Brentwood estate, which led to a low-speed pursuit by police, causing the California Highway Patrol to pursue with extreme caution. June 1994, Simpson was arrested and charged with the murder of Brown and her friend Goldman, which was publicly known for the trial of the century due to the public events in American history, which lasted for 9 months or 11 months total, you know. Yeah, just keep that in mind. Simpson had 5 members of the Clouseau team, which was Robert Kardashian, as his attorney and his friend. Interesting. On October of 1995, the jury reached a verdict of not guilty, which has sparked a lot of controversy between races, between Latinos, blacks, whites, and they also did a poll on this, in which I didn't know they did, so let's go over the statistics. In 2006, 83% of white Americans and 58% of black Americans believe that Simpson committed the murders. Fred Goldman, the father of Ron Goldman, reopened the case on October 23rd in 1996, where he filed a civil lawsuit against Simpson. On February 5th of 1997, in Santa Monica, California, Simpson was found to pay more than $33 million liable for the wrongful death of his son. But did Simpson stay out of trouble? Of course not. Over the several years, he returned to court for numerous of reasons. Let's start. He returned for court for traffic violations, pirating cable TV, simple battery, and burglary, but was never charged guilty of any of those. In trouble, yes. Paid fines, fees, millions, lost, of course, yeah, but didn't stop there either. September 13, 2007, a group of men led by Simpson took sports memorials at the Palace Station Hotel Casino in a room at gunpoint. Simpson claimed, when brought in for questioning, stated he admitted that he stole what was taken from him, but denied breaking into the hotel room or that him or anybody else was carrying a gun. Simpson was later released, but then 2 days later arrested without bail with three other men. Simpson was charged for multiple felony counts and sentenced to 33 years in prison on December 8, 2008. Simpson only served over 9 years before being on parole in 2017 on good behavior. Now, this trial went on for a while, but did you know that there was O.J. Simpson's son theory with the son Jason? I didn't know about that. I didn't even, you know about, I know he had kids, but I didn't know that he had sons. But yeah, let's get into that theory. Conspiracy, whatever you want to get into. His son Jason was diagnosed with intermediate rage disorder, and he stopped taking his meds for 2 months prior to the murder or unaliving that took place. He talked about killing anyone who hurt his loved ones in his notes. In the past, he almost killed his girlfriend and injured others. At the same time of the murder, he was on probation for attacking his boss with a knife. Interesting. Keep that in mind. Take note of that. When the murders happened, he had no alibi to support him while the killings occurred. I find it odd that he would write on his time card, because they had electronic time clock. So why wouldn't you go in and not do it manually on the time clock? Why would you have it written? Suspicious. A black Navy cap with animal fur on it was found at the crime scene. There was a picture found of him in a storage locker room, where they described this picture of him wearing this black cap and with the dog that he had. Interesting. Not only did they find the picture of this, they also found the knife, which matched the description of what was used for the murders. What more evidence do you need? And put the cherry on top of things, this man was trained from a Navy academy for knife training. Now, these are just my conspiracies, like going over all this as a whole. Let's go over the facts. Yeah? So, it was always quoted, since it doesn't fit, if it doesn't fit, then you must equip. That was something stated by one of the judges, or the attorney, should I say, my bad, of the trial, right? So OJ tried on the gloves, as you can see in the video, and it wasn't a match of his gloves. OJ was notified by the police while he was on a business trip to Chicago. He later returned to LA, where he was met by the cops and temporarily handcuffed. OJ hired a top criminal attorney to represent Jason, but was never a suspect. The police never tested a thing, not a finger, not a fingernail, not no type of evidence was ever tested. Which, in my opinion, going over the OJ son's theory, I believe that maybe his son had a nervous breakdown and realized what he did. he called his father first because maybe he knew about the affair that was going on, so he took it upon himself to maybe go catch him in the act doing something. And probably did catch him in the act doing something that he didn't expect to run into or find and hurt his feelings, maybe because, you know, he felt some type of way about maybe how his father would feel and took it upon himself to take them out, unalive them, and called his dad, freaked out, which would make sense why his dad would have an attorney on speed dial and would cause him to break down in the car about this whole thing. Either he could probably take the fall for his son. You know, I think that's what he did. Because if you have gloves, where did gloves come from? First of all, found the knife but was never tested, didn't have an alibi, you're trained in the Navy, you have all these things that leads up but no alibi, especially while OJ was on a trip, business trip to Chicago. So I feel like OJ probably took the fall. This is just an outsider, you know, opinion, because I was never there for the trial, never really watched the whole thing. I'm just going off the theory of the Jason son, you know, the son's theory. So, Kim Kardashian, what are the relation connections to OJ? Now, as we talked about previously, her father was one of his friends and his attorney at the time, taking a stand for his defense. But there are rumors that Khloe Kardashian might be OJ Simpson's daughter. they're just rumors, conspiracies, allegedly. You know, I don't really have an opinion about it, but there are a lot of things going around on TikTok about it. Candace Owens had a very strong opinion about it. I don't want to get my two cents in about that, but, you know, it is what it is. It's just, you know, the whole OJ conspiracy, or, you know, just the rumors that's going around. But him himself said that he was never, you know, him himself in an interview that he said that never happened. That's not his daughter. And that he was just into the models as anything else, you know, that was just a thing back in the day to go for all the hottest models in the day. And she was one of them. So, yeah.
Up next is the Young Thug case.
Stuck in this terror dome, all I see is terrible, making
But what's going on with this case? The case is still struggling, still going on. It's been over years since, I believe, 2015, and it's still going because the witness haven't been cooperating. One came and took the stand only to say he showed there because he was ready to go back to prison. This case, from what I've seen from YouTube videos and TikTok, it just seems like a hot mess and nobody wants to take it serious. It just seems like, yeah, you did this, yeah, you did that, pointing their fingers at everybody, just getting mad for no apparent reason. The lawyers are not even taking this seriously. They're arguing with each other. The judge is just trying to prolong the situation. Apparently, the witnesses is only there because they're being forced to talk about something that has nothing to do with them. So let's get into it. From what I've seen, one of the videos, the Young Thug lawyer makes him cry in court because he's ready to put his life on the line for his client. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I mean, from my standpoint on it, I don't really know what's going on and being involved with it. But from just looking at that from a TikTok video, it can never be that serious, bro. Like, I mean, I guess if you're passionate about what your work is and, you know, that's why you became a lawyer in the first place. But ready to put your life on the line for your client, what do you have to put your life down for? I mean, maybe have to be there for the whole trial so the judge can stop, you know, prolonging the situation. That makes sense. But chill out. Sit down. It's never that serious, bro. Then it goes on to say this is how Young Thug know that he picked a good lawyer because, you know, this is what he wanted to hear, I guess. And it's just a hot mess because you're talking about stuff that has no relation to the case. So it's like a blob, nothing. The lawyer goes on and calls the judge biased against him and his lawyer. Question mark? What? Because the lawyer was told that he's not being canny with the court and he's misrepresenting because Mr. Bean never went to the hospital on September 11th, 2013. Allegedly, people are saying that the judge is dragging this case because it should have been long over with. Like, what is the judge trying to, first of all, as a judge, how are you gonna let people talk to you like that? This is your court case, this is your room. And from what I've seen, I wouldn't let anybody. I feel like you should have told the lawyer who was representing Young Thug to maybe lower his voice or something. Like, you wasn't having it with the other lady from what I've seen, but you let the other man get away with murder, like trying to call you out in front of other people. And it's just like, I wouldn't have took no shit from anybody, from the girl or the other lawyer, regardless of who's what. Talking about some, I've already ruled out certain things. Why didn't you rule out anything with him? Like, as far as from what I've seen, the judge has argued more with the other lady than Young Thug's lawyer. Allegedly, they're claiming that Young Thug is snitching or paid everybody off, but the judge is still pushing the trial through. It could even take up the years to 2027. But you know, Young Thug's lawyer is not trying to have that happen. The prosecutors don't even have enough evidence against Young Thug. Young Thug's lawyer is not having it with this case. He's calling pretty much everybody out. The judge, the prosecutors, even though the one in the police department saying that they're lying about having evidence against Young Thug. What are your thoughts on that? Young Thug goes and share his lunch with everybody that's on his stand, on his side of the fence. Just laughing, having a good time, seem like they're just having a lunch break while everybody's just in the courtroom, not talking, arguing with each other. He's just sitting back like, okay, is this gonna move forward? He seems like pretty much tired of everything that's happening. The witnesses are not even cooperating. One Witness was called there to talk about some things, and from what I've seen and what I heard from the videos, he's saying that he wasn't there, that he was forced to be there, and if that he wasn't there, that they were going to press some type of charges against him if he didn't show up in case, that he wasn't there for this event. This isn't got nothing to do with him, and they're trying to get him to speak on something that has nothing to do with him. So, in my opinion, what is a judge trying to get from this? Because I feel like if nobody's going to come forward and talk about anything, they're going to find him guilty, I believe not, right? Or how does that usually work when nobody cooperates? Like, there's not enough evidence. The witnesses don't want to say anything. Everybody on the stand or is arguing with each other and the judge. It is just a hot mess, and I really feel bad for Young Thug and everybody that has to sit there in trial waiting for this to move forward. And then you're calling out witnesses that supposedly isn't there, but you're calling them out to talk about something that has nothing to do with their case. It's like, what are you trying to do? You're just trying to summon people that's not there to get them to lie about Young Thug. But what? Why are you trying to lie this man up so bad? And it's just like, the court system as it is has already failed so many cases as it is. This judge needs to just let it go and wrap it up, put the evidence and stuff together from what he has, and roll out the shit and move forward, because y'all looking like a circus, arguing, fighting with each other. Like, get it together.
All right, so let's go to the next song. We'll be right back.
I'm cutting grass and designing like it's FUBU. I got a real thick gal, wanna sit on my lap. No BBL, you can tell she just built like that. You ever walk into a spot knowing every bitch a pop? It's not a whole lot of that done felt like that. But there I go, there I go, there I go, there I go, yeah, it's me with the inside out tee. Low key, only show up for a large fee. There I go, there I go, there I go, there I go. Yeah, that's him, pay the arm and the limb for him, cause they know the hoes jump out the gym for him.
Gucci Mane and J. Cole, the collaboration. They pulled the band, whooped the bell by the hibernation. These boys exaggerate and do a lot of fabrication. But ain't no gimmicks in my game, this shit ain't animation. Now Mike Will made it, and Gucci Mane slayed it. Think I'm the dopest rapper ever, nigga, overrated. The paint got eliminated, the top decapitated. He had a buzz, but it went dry, that shit evaporated. Big ups to Fayetteville, shout out Mechanicsville. I keep it true, they go from Thomasville to Summerhill. And my Bugatti, but I used to have a Bonneville. I'm going skydiving, I'm talking switch my move by Puffy Crib. Wow. Screaming, yes, sir. Let your stretch first. Burr. My diamonds go burr. Yeah, it's a cold world. Cold. I told my nigga slow motion was the best motion. Slow. And money turn these bitches on that shit like love potion. Wow.
There I go. 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 Yeah, it's me with the inside out tee. Low key, only show up for a large fee. There I go. There I go. There I go. There I go. Yeah, that's him. Pay the arm and the limb for him. Cause they know the hoes jump out the gym for him.
Hoes jump out the gym for him.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Rita. Now, let's talk about your boy, Chance.
As of recently, he did announce his divorce, upcoming divorce, with his 5-year wife, Kristen Corley. Now, he took to social media. Both couples did post on their social medias that they will be getting divorced, but neither have actually filed for divorce. Now, this is nothing new to the public eye. We've seen it all before. I can name a few couples off back, like Megan Good and her past husband, Devon Franklin, divorced. Or how about Tia Mari and her past husband, Corey Hardrick, divorced. So this is nothing new to the public eye. However, this one hits different. Just due to the fact that Chance in 2020 postponed an entire tour just to stay home with his wife after she had their second child, their second daughter in 2020. And fans were looking at this couple as quote-unquote relationship goals. However, shortly after, fans were able to already see the cracks in their relationship. The first crack was actually when Chance took to social media, Twitter. Twitter fans were able to see that Chance was liking some suspicious activity on a transgender page, which was a little freaky deaky activity. He not only had one like on this page, he had 7 likes a day. And is a part of the LGBT community on Twitter. Shortly after, his wife actually took to social media and said that those likes were accidents and that they were together the night that he did like it, and it could have just been an accident. Honestly, I don't know why she took to social media and even said that. I would have just kept that comment to myself, because it just makes it look way worse and way more suspicious. Also in October, well not October, in 2020, Chance also splurged on a house just because we were all still in quarantine and he was not able to stay in the house with his wife at this time. So he splurged on a $2.3 million 9,000 square foot home just because they were in a small space and they didn't think that their marriage would last. Not only that, in 2023, Chance celebrated his 30th birthday at Carnival in Jamaica and was seen slow grinding with his shirt off with a woman that was dressed in a Carnival costume. Shortly after, the couple did take to social media announcing that they will be divorced. However, neither of the spouses have actually filed for divorce. So I'm just wondering, is this a thing that will be escalated, or will they try to get back together? Who knows? We have seen it all before again with these celebrity couples. All right, so let's go to the next song. We'll be right back.
I'm like no strong, how did I get here? My first concert was Jim. about. Doing what I want, I pray that they don't hear me now.
This what it's all about, this what it's all about. Fear of God, only demons tryna hold me down. This what it's all about, this what it's all about.
What's good, everybody? This is your girl, Lexi. I hope that you guys are staying in the loop and staying in tune with the Chicago View. All right, this next topic is Polo G. Polo G has had a big family issue over the Easter weekend day, allegedly. And he's not so happy with his mother taking things to social media about what's going on with their family, especially when it involves his sister and his ex-brother. So allegedly there was a lot said between the two on IG, and I'm gonna summarize this the best way I can. If not, you know, you can always go over the facts yourself. But as for me, you know, I pick and choose what I want to talk about, and I think I've got a few good notes here. So let's get into it. From what I gather between the social media posts, the TikToks, and YouTube videos, allegedly the mother took it upon herself to post her family business out there, stating that she's trying to help her daughter to take care of her mental situation and take her to a mental hospital, and stating that she's 27 years old, I've been taking care of her my whole life. I guess recently she's been having her mental breakdowns and episodes over the past 2 years, and it's never been brought to light until recently, until she took it upon herself to bring it to social media. I don't know what started the fight between them two, but from what it seems, Leilani came to the mother's house, broke all of her things in the house. You know, there's two sides in one story. I heard that she came to her house, messed up all her things for no apparent reason, and then her mother put her hands on her, which caused her to, you know, flare up some type of way and respond and break it down into the fight. Then the mother called the hospital on her to try to get her mental home because she's not doing well, yada, yada, yada. But from Leilani's story, she said she came over there for the weekend, and she was just trying to have a good time with her and her family. She got there, and first thing that happened was she was talking about her appearance, and she told her she was felt embarrassed that she said it in front of everybody, and she wasn't so happy with it while she's picking on her in front of everybody, and she don't think that was a good idea to do. She then goes to show the report from the mental hospital where her daughter Leilani tried to take her own life. She also stated, pretty much just to summarize, that she wants to be left alone, the mother does, and that this is a win for anybody, claiming how she never takes stuff like this to post to social media, and that this is sad and she always welcomed her daughter back with open arms. The mother then posted a video of her daughter's ex-boyfriend. The daughter lies to the police, stating that her boyfriend had kidnapped her and tied her up, and what she posted when the police was there, that nothing happened. In the video, he's pretty much recording everything from his apartment, stating that she's not here, what's going on, this is crazy. And the apartment looked very clean and looked like he was just chilling, watching TV, and the cops are looking for her, and she's nowhere to be found. And it's just like, he's stating that this is crazy, you know, why would she do something like this? And the mother then goes, this is what a mental case looked like, you know, that she needs help, and why would you go on to lie about something like this? This is just, you know, not just from my perspective, it happens all the time. But like Lonnie's pretty much saying, that's not what happened. I came over there, she was talking about me, my appearance, and then she tried to shoot at me, and she's such a narcissistic, and this is why Polo G don't talk to you, etc., etc. But I love my mother. I would never want to hurt her, but she put her hands on me first. Polo G isn't so happy that the mother, his mother, took this to social media, and the mother also reposted some of the text messages that was sent between her and Polo G as well. If I can remember correctly, he was saying, "I tried calling you," and she said, "You never called," and he said that, "I hate you," etc., etc. I guess it's responding to the mother posting things on IG about it, because he's always supposed Polo G isn't so happy because his sister's always been supporting him in his music career. Regardless, you can always see that they have a really close bond and relationship with each other. And Leilani stated that she's always supported Polo G and her mother hasn't. You know, it's fake for you to come around saying that you're this and that, how you're a loving mother, and you're really not. But, you know, this isn't a win-win situation for anybody, because the situation shouldn't be like this. I wanted to come back home to Chicago, but from how it's looking now, I think I'm going to just work it out here, etc., etc. In my opinion, you know, I'm not one for speaking on family matter. It's not my business. It's not my situation. And it's just a sad case overall. But it hits home when a specific artist is from Chicago, from your hometown and everything. And it's just really sad to hear about situations, about any kind of family matter, taken to social media. In my opinion, I feel like any family matter should not be, especially an event like this, that you're recording something that's so private, as you say, shouldn't have been taken to social media. So I can kind of agree with Polo G, but just note that there is nothing about this situation that I'm going to choose sides on, because as a whole, as a family, you guys should come together and be stronger as ever, because this is your family, you know? This is your brother, your sister, your mother. I feel like, you know, coming from a place and a mother being a daughter and having, you know, things like that goes on in any kind of household, pretty much. But for you to take this out on social media, it's like, what attention are you trying to look for when you post about your daughter or son? You know, you want to tell the world about your daughter is doing this. It's embarrassing to me. That sounds embarrassing, because it's like, I feel like as a celebrity, if you're a parent and you're talking about your son or daughter, regardless of what they did or what you did, you should keep this private. And as a grown woman that she is, it is really sad to see that a grown-ass woman is taking this to social media. These are your kids we're talking about. And, you know, I'm not saying that she's right or wrong. I'm just saying the situation as a whole is really sad to see any kind of family going through this. And for you to take this to social media, being the parent that you are, I can understand if maybe your kids brought it to social media, but you brought it to the light first. And it's like, what kind of help are you looking to get? You know, as a parent, I would have looked into different kind of answers other than posting this on social media. Maybe going to therapy, perhaps. Because if your parents, I mean, your kids are saying that, you know, if your kids are telling you that they're not comfortable with you expressing something in a public matter in front of people, what makes you think it's okay to take this to social media? As a mother, I would be personally embarrassed, because, you know, if my daughter was going through something like this, regardless of what age she is, young or old, you know, I wouldn't bring it to anybody's attention that I know that can help me in my situation. Like, I'm looking for answers in the wrong kind of place. If you know what I'm getting at, like, I'm bringing this to attention to the wrong people. I'm not saying that she can't express herself, but at the same time, just certain shit shouldn't get out there like that, you know? And as the daughter, I know personally how that kind of feels, but not towards social media. It's just like, how people put you on blast for no apparent reason, especially in front of the crowd of people that is probably your family or is not. And it's like, why are you putting my business out there if I haven't told anybody myself yet? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, why are you telling my business to everybody and they don't even talk to me? So for you to put it out there into the world, it would hurt my feelings. And as much as I've seen her in the videos crying and stuff like that, how she beat her mother's ass, and you know, the story kind of don't line up as it is. I don't know what caused it to go down like that, but from what I've gathered, it seemed like she was going over there for Easter weekend or day, and she was making fun of her parents, and she took it upon herself to start acting up because she felt some type of way that her mother personally attacked her publicly in front of everybody. So she got the throwing stuff around, bringing her property, doing all the breaking stuff, as you can see on the video, and her mother tried to stop her. So maybe she tried to get her attention by shooting at her, and that didn't work. And then I guess the mother finally came to her and slapped her, and you know, she, as a daughter, she wasn't expecting her own mother to hit her, and she took it upon herself to fight. I feel like that might have went on, but who knows? I'm not there. I'm just speaking from what I've seen, just trying to put two and two together, but it's none of my business. I just hope that Polo G and his family can get it together. This is really sad to see, you know. I hope that you guys can come together and work things out. This is really a sad case. Polo G, I hope you keep your head up. I hope that your sister is doing well. And I hope the mother can seek something better than social media to do with her time and attention rather than telling me into the world. It's none of my business. But come on, Mom. Like, these are your kids you're talking about. And as a mother, I feel like you should be finding something other than social media to help your kids out. Because you see sad cases like this happen all the time. And most of the time, they don't get the love and the support that they need from their own mother or father. And that's what causes them to spiral out and act up the way that they do. So, as a parent, I feel like you need to get your shit together and do better. And that's all of my opinion on Polo G's family situation. Peace.
All right, y'all. That's it for the Chicago View Podcast. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Chicago View Podcast. And don't forget, if you're streaming on musical platforms such as Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music, click that notification bell so you can be able to know when we post our next, latest, greatest episode. With that being said, y'all, peace.